The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 524. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Well, last week, Ringside Rand and yours truly, we took a look at the upcoming WWE spectacular known as WrestleMania. And this past weekend, we certainly got a lot of wrestling action from those folks in the WWE. And so Rand is returning once again to sit down and chat with me and to talk about the predictions that we made and what actually happened on the pay-per-view, what surprises were there, the good, the bad, and the ugly, if you will. And we're real excited to talk about it with each and every one of you. So I'm not going to sit here and ramble on and on. I want to get right to our thoughts on the big event. But before I do that, I want to thank the newest sponsor of the PVD Cast, Courtney614 Deals. If you need great deals on women's fashion, health and beauty, and lots of other things, then look no further than Courtney614 Deals. You can find her on all those major reselling sites like Whatnot, eBay, Poshmark, etc. Simply look for Courtney, C-O-R-T-N-E-Y, 614 Deals. If you buy anything from Courtney, please let her know that you heard about her endeavors right here on the PVD Cast. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Ringside Rand talking about WrestleMania. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back at it. Of course, Ringside Rand joining me here to recap what went down this past weekend at WrestleMania. Rand, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's not often I get out of the Golden Ghetto, but I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, and we want to give a quick shout out to DJ Joey Blaze, who still is in Las Vegas.
He must be on a roll.
He must be. He must be. He's going to come back a millionaire. Anyways.
He may not come back.
That's right. He may not come back at all. Anyways, but Joey, we miss you, man. We hope to see you on a future episode of the podcast here real soon. But we got a lot to cover. Two nights of WrestleMania. Lots of opinions, lots of stuff to talk about. I'm going to let the listeners know that what we're going to do is we're going to start off by talking about the overall vibe of the event, and then we're going to break down each one of the matches, giving our 2 cents worth and giving it a rating anywhere from 5 body slams means it was awesome to 1 body slams meaning it was dreadful. But there you go, we're running everything down, so let's get into it, Rand. What'd you think overall about the whole entire show, both nights?
Overall, I think there was a lot of problems. My notes say there were 6 hours on two nights and only 2 hours and 47 minutes of actual in-ring action. We had way too many commercials. Now, I understand the cross-promotion. If you're ESPN, you want people to know your other shows.
Right.
If you're Netflix, you want people to know your other shows. But when there's more time spent on a Hulk Hogan documentary than some of these matches, there's a problem.
Oh, I agree. I feel like... I'm going to tell you right now, I give it 3.5 body slams, and that's only because of the amount of commercials. And the entrances were wicked long, and I agree with you. I totally see the marketing standpoint. If you're ESPN, you want your 30 for 30 to be advertised. You want your SportsCenter to be advertised, you know. But then we had local commercials, And I know that those local people, and I know I'm the guy that's always talking about mom and pop shops on this show and independent philosophies and whatnot, but I'm sorry, we don't need the local car dealership to have their same spot you could see anytime at the 6 o'clock news on as just filler. Like, get rid of that. Don't offer it. Get rid of it. And then just, you know, do what you got to do with ESPN or with Netflix, as you said.
In the words of, to paraphrase Buff Bagwell, too much fluff, not enough stuff.
Agreed. What rating would you give overall?
I give it like a C+.
Okay. So like a 3.5, 2.5, 3. Okay.
Disappointing. Didn't feel like the showplace of the immortals.
Okay. Wow. That's okay. That's bold. I didn't think it was that bad, but I think that overall the matches were good. It's just that why couldn't we move the start time to 7 o'clock, keep those same matches on there, trim out a few of those commercials and make it neat and compact for everybody watching at home.
Maybe this is the old 66-year-old guy saying, hey, I don't know who a lot of those celebrities are.
Right, yeah. We're going to talk about a couple of those celebrities here. In fact, let's talk about the one that kicked off night one. We have Logan Paul, Austin Theory, a.k.a. The Vision, along with Paul Heyman, and their partner IShowSpeed. They took on The Usos and LA Knight. I have to confess, I did not see this match. I was on my way to my buddy's house, and we got a little bit delayed getting up there, so I missed this match. But from what I understand, it was typical. It was okay.
Right. I find it odd that Logan Paul is no longer an outsider, a celebrity, or an influencer. He's been accepted.
Yeah.
As a full-time, maybe not a full-time, but at least an active member of the roster.
And, I mean, the guy, we said it since day one, he's athletic as hell. And he shows off that athleticism in each and every match that he's in. He's got the attitude. He plays a great heel. I mean, he's got the total package. Yeah, he fits in. He absolutely does. He fits in just as well as Austin Theory does. So if you're comparing the two, I'd say definitely.
Yeah. I thought it was an average match. I didn't think it was anything special. They kind of took advantage of IShowSpeed. He made a mistake. It turned around the match. The faces won, and then somehow they accepted him back on their team.
Funny story about that. At my buddy's house, my buddy has a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old, and they know who IShowSpeed is. And he was like, I had no idea. I asked them when he first showed up. Not on WrestleMania, because he was on another pay-per-view like a year or so ago, or maybe 6 months ago. He was like, my kids know who that is. I don't.
One of my final comments was going to be about the target audience. It seems like these programs are designed for the TikTok audience or the YouTube crowd, not necessarily somebody my age, who, by the way, went to WrestleMania 8. And I've seen all the WrestleManias. Maybe they're going for the younger, obviously they are going for the younger demographic.
Yeah. But anyways, I mean, it seemed like from what few clips I saw on the recaps, it looked like it was a decent match. And you actually selected, as did I, that the babyfaces would win. So that's both a point for both of us here if we were scoring. Let's move on. No Bonnie's.
What are the big prizes for getting them right? A good seat here in the arena.
The arena in Casa de la Orlando, you get a nice seat. That's right.
In the city of Orlando, their arena is called the arena.
Is it?
Yes.
Well, I thought it was called something else. Or that was maybe like a few names ago. Yeah. Okay.
Corporate All right. sponsors ago.
Yeah. Very good. So we don't have do you have a body slam rating for those 6-minute match?
2.5.
2.5? Okay. I did not grade it because I did not get to see it in its entirety. So moving on to Jacob Fatu taking on Drew McIntyre. This is a no disqualification match, or I forget, unsanctioned match, unsanctioned. They called it. Yes.
But not to WCW unsanctioned pay-per-view. And I didn't realize this. This is the first unsanctioned match in 11 years.
Really? What was the last one?
The last one was Triple H and Seth Rollins.
Oh, right. Wow. Huh. I did not know that. I didn't remember that. I remember that match because it was
where Hunter was the babyface, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. It's funny how when they go looking under the ring, some of the things that they find, some of the things make sense. Ladders, right. Toolboxes, maybe a chair. Who brings a kendo stick and puts it under the ring?
We talked about that at my buddy's house. So I was like, why is there a random kendo stick under there? Because you're right. Like, you, even the fire extinguisher, you could justify and go, well, there's a fire at ringside.
Right.
You know, but yeah, what's the kendo stick for? Like, who puts that under the ring? What do you use that for?
What other purpose does it have?
Exactly. Exactly.
I did think it was funny that Drew has had a bad history with red toolboxes.
Yes, as he got whacked with it.
And he more than sold the appearance of such toolbox. I thought it was a pretty good match. I liked the action. But it also seemed like when they got to 6:55 and they were real close to going to ESPN, the app.
Yeah.
And suddenly the finish happened. It felt like a rushed finish to fit the time slot.
Yeah, I can see where that would be something that people might say. I liked, real quick, I'm going to go back to, I really like the slingshot spot where, if I'm not mistaken, it was with the side of the ring, and if I'm not mistaken, it was Jacob Fatu that did it to Drew, if I remember correctly. I thought that was really cool. I mean, Fatu goes over with the moonsault through the table. I think that it's obvious that, as we both said, Jacob Fatu is probably going to be a main eventer here within the next year or so.
Let's hope he stays healthy.
Yeah, as long as he stays healthy, that would certainly be true. And we'll talk a little bit about Fatu here in a moment, but I gave it 4 body slams. I really thought for an unsanctioned match, it was pretty good.
I gave it 3.
Okay. Now, let's talk about what happened on Raw last night, because I believe towards the end of Raw, we had the Usos and Roman Reigns
reunited, because it feels so good.
And they were talking about the victory, and out comes Jacob Fatu, who makes no bones about it, that he wants everything Roman Reigns has. And I thought this promo was really, really good.
I thought it was good in all 3 segments.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Not only Roman talking to the Usos, but Jacob talking to Roman, and the Roman saying, hey, be careful what you ask for. This is a heavy crown that I'm wearing.
Mm-hmm. I agree, and you throw in there that I think at Backlash, which is in a few weeks, that those two are going to face off, Fatu and Roman Reigns. I think this is, to me, Roman doesn't have anybody built for him yet. I mean, so why not grab Fatu, give him his shot? I don't know if he's going to win the title, but give him a chase with it and see what happens. See how the fans react to it. I think this is the smartest plan that they could come up with.
I think we're going to see a lot of the family.
Yeah, I think that that's going to happen. I think that we're going to see even maybe Solo Sikoa returning to be on the
injury status.
Yeah,
that depends. Might even see Tamino.
I don't know about that. I think they would have brought her back already if that was going to be the case. Anyways, but still, looking forward to that, where they go with Fatu versus Roman Reigns. Next up is the Women's Tag Team Turmoil match. We have a big surprise.
What's that?
Is that Paige returns, filling in for Nikki Bella. Surprisingly, this match wasn't as bad as I said it was going to be, because I said last week that these matches tend to be train wrecks. And this wasn't bad. It wasn't great. I gave it 2.5 Bonnie Slams. I think once Paige was announced as the fill-in, the substitute, I think that that's where things peaked, if you will.
Right. I thought it was odd that this was all 4, each of the 4 teams had somebody in the match at all time. Typically, when you have a 4-way tag team, there's only 2 people in the ring at a time.
Yeah.
And you tag in and out people.
Yeah. And I mean, Brie and Paige won. They win the titles. I was surprised by that, because I certainly thought that the Irresistible Forces were going to hold on to those belts.
We also speculated that Paige would have returned at the Rumble.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We did talk about that way back when.
In January. He asked when, and I told him. I'm a man of answers. It'll be interesting to see what they do with Paige, how much she can work. She left with injury and questions.
Yes.
Wasn't used much somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Sat out a while, so maybe she's gotten things healed.
Maybe. I don't know. Like, you know, it was a neck injury. It was something that was a little bit more severe. But, I mean, obviously the WWE are going to clear anybody because they don't want anybody getting injured on their watch for something that would be, you know, clearly a litigation issue if that indeed happened.
There was some tension between Alexa Bliss and Charlotte.
Yeah.
That maybe that story is going to just start. That team will break up and have some matches.
Maybe, possibly. What did you give it rating-wise?
I gave it 2. I'm not a big fan of the Bellas in any form.
Yeah. Well, then we go, interestingly enough, back-to-back with another women's match, which is Becky Lynch versus AJ Lee. I like the story to me was very well developed, and I thought it was a really good match between the two women. I liked how they incorporated Jessica Carr, the referee, in this kind of matchup, which I think we all are now going to definitely not be surprised when Jessica Carr turns and ends up becoming a wrestler, which, well, I shouldn't say becoming a wrestler. She's already a wrestler. She's trained. She used to wrestle in Maryland in the Indies down in the Mid-Atlantic area before she got picked up by the WWE. So, but it's going to be interesting to see how they include her in this feud with Becky.
This isn't going to be a Danny Davis storyline from way back when.
I don't think so. I think that this is going to be a way to transition Jessica Carr into being a full-time worker.
I thought it was a great storytelling. I like the way that it just happens that she's always the referee.
Yeah.
And she just happens to be the referee when Becky Lynch loses. I just think that's a great story.
And I think the finish was great, too. I thought that was a fantastic finish. I mean, it happened out of nowhere, which was really, really good.
So she's now the three-time women's Intercontinental champ.
Yep. So Becky Lynch gets the victory. And let's see. I think you... I had AJ Lee. You had Becky Lynch.
Hey!
So that's 2 for you, correct predictions, and 1 for me. Our next match is Seth Rollins versus Gunther.
I think this might be the first time we've seen consecutive matches with a husband and wife.
Oh, yeah.
Becky Lynch and then Seth. And I'm scratching my head trying to think of who else could have been.
I don't think there's been a back-to-back. There has to be. Somewhere in the annals of professional
Maybe
wrestling.
Maybe Tyson Kidd, Natalya.
Maybe.
Maybe Charlotte Flair.
And Andrade, maybe. I don't know. That's a great... Montez Ford and Bianca Belair?
There's a possibility.
I don't know. That's interesting.
One of the Usos and...
Naomi?
Yeah.
That'd probably be the strongest one, I would think.
Most likely.
Yeah, most likely.
It means nothing, but it's interesting.
Well, I like that Gunther jump-started the match, just attacking Seth Rollins. I like that Bron Breakker comes down and interferes and he spears Seth, which then leads into the victory for Gunther. I felt like this match was a little bit long. I think it went about 15, 16 minutes. I would have trimmed it down by a couple, but I really liked it. I gave it 4 body slams.
But when you think about it, 15 minutes is what these matches should be.
Yeah.
But it seemed long compared to the other ones. Some of these other matches were 7 to 10 minutes.
Yeah. And again, I'm the one that complains all the time on this podcast about AEW going like 20 minutes for every match on a pay-per-view. And here, the WWE goes shorter, and it seems weird. It seems not like there seems like there's something off because it is so much shorter. Or not really shorter, the appropriate length.
It seems like there's the production value between the matches is so much better here.
Yeah.
Video highlights. AEW doesn't have a whole lot of that.
Oh, yeah.
And
well,
frequently their matches are real long and full of run-ins.
Yeah, well, I mean, we could talk about AEW and the state of that promotion for 3 hours, but let's table that for now, shall okay. we? All right.
And by the way, that table is brought to you by Slim Jim.
Well done, sir. Well done.
gotta keep the sponsors happy.
Well,
why not find a company that makes tables and have them sponsor the table?
They should. Like, I don't know who that would be, but yeah, like Home Depot.
There you go.
Home Depot, where we buy our ladders and our chairs and our tables from.
Yeah, have Home Depot sponsor.
There you go.
Ace Hardware, somebody.
Well, you picked Gunther, and I had my wacky no contest decision in that.
And it was close to that.
It was close to that.
We had interference.
Yep, but nonetheless, you have three correct predictions to my one. All right, next up, Liv Morgan against Stephanie Vaquer. I like this match a lot. The interference from the Judgment Day I thought was a nice way to get Liv back to hitting the Oblivion once again and gets the three count. I gave this three body slams. I thought this was good. I'm just not really sold on Liv Morgan's another run for her.
See, this is where we differ. I liked the music video. I liked her dancing in. And by the way, let's find another male dancer, because that guy looked like he was from the Springer show.
Yeah, he looked like he was malnourished. He didn't look like he had a good physique on him. And if we're talking about the WWE and physiques, I think that maybe you should. Yeah, let's just say it this way. I would not walk down the aisle at a WWE event without a shirt on.
He shouldn't.
He shouldn't either. But no, I thought the Trouble is such a ridiculous music video and song, and the presentation was laughable, but hey, it's okay. We can agree to disagree on that one.
As much as I like Stephanie, I love the Devil's Kiss. I think that's a great move.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to sell.
Mm-hmm.
It's unique.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, does she have charisma? Does she have excitement?
You know, I was at my friend's house, and he is not a fan of Stephanie Vaquer, because he says that. He goes, what charisma does she have? She doesn't have any charisma. She's just like a goth chick with horns.
I'm going to compare her to Natalya. Natalya's a great worker. Nobody gets excited when she comes to the ring.
Well.
And they've repackaged her many times to try.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of returns, we have John Cena coming out. I told you he wouldn't stay away for long. Anyways, he comes out.
No surprise.
He gives us the count of 50,000 and some odd people, and then Bianca Belair comes out, and it was so, I don't know about you, Rand.
I saw it coming like a parade.
Yeah, this was no big surprise, because the outfit she was wearing, she didn't have the braid, and I'm like, and even my wife.
The braid might have been wrapped up.
I don't think the braid was there at all.
Okay.
And my wife even said she's pregnant. She's pregnant. You could just tell she's pregnant.
There's a reason she's wearing that.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when she doesn't wear stuff like that either. And so she announces that she's pregnant. I don't want to be mean, but did this really have to take up like 5 or 6 minutes of the broadcast?
It's a feel-good moment, but doesn't add anything to the show.
Yeah, exactly. I prefer the other time that we see John Cena on night two and his special guest then. I prefer that to this.
Now, thinking back maybe 2 years ago, I thought the announcement of Becky Lynch being pregnant and leaving was great. She won a match and gave the opportunity to Asuka.
Yes.
She said, you can go be a warrior. I'm going to go be a mom.
Right.
And I thought that was one of the best moments of the year.
All good things to Bianca Belair and her husband, Montez Ford. I just, again, I'm in a event that has such a luster and such grandeur to it. I didn't know if this was I wouldn't have this much of a problem if it happened on SmackDown or Raw.
Right.
But I'm like, it's Mania, you know, right. Like, I don't. You know,
it's a feel-good moment that just didn't happen.
Yeah, so
didn't have to be there.
Correct. All right, that leads us to our main event. Randy Orton taking on Cody Rhodes for the WWE Championship. And let's see if I remember correctly. I think once I get my notes here, excuse me, folks, as I'm having
trouble. Call the research department.
Well, we both selected Cody Rhodes, so we both give ourselves a prediction. So that gives you four predictions to
What about Liv and Stephanie?
Two. Oh. We both had Stephanie Vaquer, so that still gives us 4-2.
I pretty much thought when Monday Night Raw ended with that music video, that she was getting a push.
Yeah. All right, let's get back to the main event here. Brandi Rhodes is in attendance, as is Cody's daughter. I thought that was cool. Thankfully, they left the dog behind. So I felt bad for that dog in AEW when he brought it out that one time for that pay-per-view. I'm like, that dog scared shitless, and you just brought him out with all the pyro? Come on, man. That's not cool.
It's not like Matilda.
Matilda, yeah.
Like British Bulldogs for you kids. Look it up.
Yeah. By the way, Matilda was an asshole, apparently, backstage. Bit lots of people. So just keep that in mind when you look that up, kids. Anyways, Pat McAfee, I like that he attacked Cody Rhodes. I thought that was good. But then Pat is put through a table thanks to Pastry Guy. Oh, I mean Jelly Roll.
Yeah. I did like the fact that McAfee took the mic and did the introduction.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. I like that.
That's a good heel move.
It was. There's the ref bump, and then Pat comes back as he was carted off after the going through the table from Jelly Roll. He was carted off.
McAfee was flying plenty of double birds.
Yes, he was. So Pat McAfee returns as the referee, and then we get the RKO on Patrick McAfee. Patrick McAfee. I don't know why I mean him. Pat McAfee, whatever, that dude that played for the Colts.
ESPN guy.
Yeah. Anyways, RKO on Pat McAfee, crossroads to Randy.
I think he was passing out RKOs to just about everybody.
Well, here's the thing. I think, and I mean, I have nothing, no proof of this, but it seemed to me that the fans were getting behind Randy. And I'm wondering if they just didn't call an audible and be like, let's go with it. See what happens. Now, I know that we'll probably on Friday find out a little bit more come SmackDown time, but I just have this feeling. Then there's the post-match punt, which again got a huge pop.
Now, I had actually read somewhere that this was changed. Within the last 2 weeks, Orton was supposed to win.
Really?
It's hard to say how accurate that is.
Yeah.
We may never know.
That's why I'm saying it just seemed to me like there was going to be a change, just a babyface change for Orton that was called on the fly. Just the vibe of that crowd.
It was clear that Cody was injured.
Oh, yeah. He got busted up.
And a concussion.
Yeah. And I saw where he's got a black eye and that. Well, I will say this. I really liked the match. I gave it five body slams. I really, really dug it. I thought it was a good good match overall.
To me, it was really confusing. The way everybody kept getting RKO'd. McAfee's involved. I felt that, like they changed directions a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm only giving it 3.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I didn't think it was worthy of being a main event at a WrestleMania, a closing match.
Yeah, I said that too, that it originally is like a match we would see on SmackDown or Raw, but I don't know. I really, it hooked me. I wanted to see how the story progressed. I thought that it was, and I don't think it was very long either. I think it was only like 10 minutes or so. So overall, it checked a lot of boxes for me.
Sometimes those boxes need to be checked.
Sometimes they do, definitely. All right, so then, Rand, let's get into night two with the first match being Obafemi versus Brock Lesnar. I don't know what to say about this match.
We didn't expect Steamboat and Randy Savage.
No.
We knew this was going to be short and brutal.
Yes.
We knew that this was going to be hard-hitting. And there again, I'm reading things on the internet, for what it's worth, that things were changed. We knew that Brock has some health problems, I think. Diverticulitis.
Yeah, but he's had
his stomach taken out.
He's had that. That was something that happened years ago. But yeah, I'm sure that those still can have some ramifications to your overall health, I'm sure.
I figured that he would be leaving at SummerSlam in Minnesota.
Yes, that's what I thought too.
And I think he decided he didn't want to have a sad farewell in his hometown.
That would probably be a safe bet.
So, and again, for what it's worth, I read that this story changed. And not even Triple H knew that this was going to be a retirement.
Wow. Okay.
But then again, it also depends on what you read.
I mean, it was a short match. It was a clean victory over Brock for Obafemi. And then, as I said here, Brock leaves his boots and his MMA gloves in the center of the ring. I felt like the reaction from Paul Heyman, the reaction from the crowd, the reaction from Brock were all, you know, definitely they were all shoot. You know, they was not a work. And it wasn't the Mark Henry on John Cena. I'm retiring. And I thought overall 5 body slams. I thought this was fantastic.
If it had been longer, I would have agreed with you more.
Yeah.
And because it was fairly short, I went with 3.
Well, that also gives us both a prediction that was correct because we both selected Obafemi, who, let's be honest, he opened Raw last night. You could see how over he is.
His entrance is over.
Yes.
He knows not to speak a lot last night.
Right.
What did he say? The ruler is here?
That's it. Drop the mic. That's it.
Now, the week before, he did a couple of paragraphs.
Yep. He did have a longer promo.
Not every wrestler needs to talk a lot.
Mm-mm.
I don't think I've ever heard more than 3 sentences out of Sabu.
True. Yeah,
very few.
Yeah,
of them you
very
can play
few.
On the radio.
Yeah, and look, yeah, Goldberg didn't speak a lot. All right, because he knew what his role was.
Right.
This guy Obafemi knows what his role is and is going to obviously play it to the hilt. It's just my question: who's next? Speaking of Goldberg, who's next for Obafemi?
He's going to run through a lot of people in the next year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think right now. I mean, Bronson Reed would be awesome, but who knows how long he's going to be out with that injury.
You don't want to give him anybody too big. You want him to develop.
Correct.
Maybe he'll go the Goldberg route and have 5-minute matches. Maybe he'll develop, get into 10 to 15-minute matches. I don't see him main eventing the pay-per-view until WrestleMania next year.
Oh, yeah. I'd say that's a smart thing. I think that's smart. You know who would be awesome, but again, he is busy with another feud, which we'll talk about that here in a few minutes, is Rusev. Rusev versus Obafemi would be fantastic. Like, that would be an awesome matchup.
You want to have somebody that there's doubt.
Yeah.
You don't want to just give this guy squash after squash.
You can't put The Miz in there with Obafemi because this isn't going to be believable. And I just randomly picked The Miz out of the clear blue sky. Austin Theory. Yeah, would not be somebody that you would put him up against.
Kit Wilson.
Right. He's already had a run in with Kit Wilson, whom I don't, just as a side note, I don't get the new gimmick. It's like, that's so 2007. Not right now. Like, it's not current.
I'm trying to think of who to compare him to. Who? Fandango.
Yeah, he's kind of like Fandango. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Fandango.
Okay, Fandango.
Fandango.
All right, next match. It's the Intercontinental Ladder Match featuring Dragon Lee, Javon Evans, JD McDonagh, Rusev, Rey Mysterio. I felt bad for Dragon Lee and JD McDonagh. They didn't even get introductions.
It was during a commercial, which you shouldn't have on a pay-per-view.
Man, if I was one of those guys, I'd be super pissed. I'd be like, dude.
Hey, Mom, I really was on the show.
Yeah, exactly. Look, this match, I think, was maybe my second to least favorite match. I didn't think that the women's tag team match was very good, and I think this was not very good. But I'm not a huge ladders fan, you know, TLC match. This was, of course, for the Intercontinental Championship, if I didn't say that already. And Penta wins, he retains. So I think that's good. It makes him look strong.
There were some brutal spots in this.
Yeah, like the two Mexican destroyers on a ladder.
You got to trust your buddy for that.
Yeah.
I thought the West Coast pop from Ray over the rope onto Rusev.
Oh, yeah.
Was a major. Lots of high spots. Good action.
Yeah, it wasn't boring. I'll give you that.
Typically, when you have 6 people, there's no story.
Right.
Because you can't have 6-sided stories.
Right.
I gave it 3.5. I thought it was good action, but no story. You can't have stories in a crowded match.
Yeah, I also, I went just a little bit less than that. I went 3 body slams. I thought it was, like I said, for it wasn't bad for a ladders match, and you're right, there's not much of a story, but there is a story now coming out of it, because we saw last night Rusev and Javon Evans seem to have a little thing going on between them, and they're going to build to that. I think that would be a good matchup, because it, you know, we just talked about it with Obafemi. Here you're going to have somebody, the smaller, the David versus the Goliath storyline, and I think that that's going to be really, really good for Javon Evans to get a little bit of notoriety and Rusev to get back in the swing of things.
Penta is really over, and I'm not sure why. It's not like he talks well.
No.
He's typically luchadors other than Ray don't get over.
Mm-hmm.
Penta is way over, and I'm good that he's got the IC title.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing for him to have. And speaking of a mid-card title, up next we have the U.S. title on the line as Sami Zayn takes on Trick Williams, and Sami, of course, is the champion. Oh, by the way, I apologize. I did give us. Yep, we both had Penta as a victor. So that gives you 6, and that gives me 4 in terms of correct predictions. But now on to the match of Trick Williams versus Sami Zayn.
I just can't get into Sami.
I know. He needs something new. He just has to get something new. Like, and even like changing him somewhat heel doesn't do it for me. We got to do something. Like, I don't know what that is. I don't know if it would be go back to being El Generico, but they've already done that recently with the Americanos. There's just got to be something with a tag team, maybe with Sami. I don't know, but I'm with you. I'm over him.
Average size, average appearance, pretty good wrestler.
Yeah, yeah.
Just doesn't have a personality that connects either positive or negative with me.
Yeah, I mean, again, he's just... Maybe he takes a vacation for a while. I don't know. There needs to be something done with Sami Zayn that makes him interesting, in my opinion.
Same here.
But his match with Trick Williams, I wrote down that this match was kind of a little bit boring. Like, yep. It didn't seem to have the same flow to it. And there's a bunch of interference from Little Yachty, who I don't know who the heck that is.
I don't know
either. Yeah, that's another iShow Speed or
it seems like the
Jelly Roll.
Of interest to Trick Williams is yelling, whoop that trick.
But the fans are behind him on that. So, I mean,
they like him.
They like it. I like Trick Williams a lot, to be honest with you. I just feel like pairing him up with Sami Zayn is not the opponent I would have picked for him.
Or I would have booked Rusev?
Him. I would have booked him again. Rusev would be a better option. No, I wouldn't say Penta. I don't think that would go. Again, you're talking about getting somebody over. There's the Miz. I'd get the Miz in and with Trick. I think those two could have a good match and have a good program. But yeah, just this. Even Damian Priest would be. I know he's the tag team champion on SmackDown with R-Truth, but even that would have been something better. Yeah, Trick does win. He is the U.S. champion. I think that's a right move. Like I said, I think that he's a pretty talented guy, and he's got a lot of potential.
And we'll see when he has this title what his reign looks like with the fans.
Yeah, exactly. Do the fans continue to chant, whoop that trick? We'll have to wait and see. Well, up next we have a street fight where it's Finn Balor, a.k.a. the Demon, taking on Dominic Mysterio. I thought this was an okay match for a no disqualification. I did like the stomp from the top rope through the table as the finish. I would not take that spot. I would be like, no, thank you.
I think it's a lot better than taking it on the mat.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know.
That coup de grace looks like it would be a real big problem.
Yeah, I think so. I would not take it.
But that's the trick. Making it look like it's a big problem when it really isn't.
Do you want to whoop that trick?
No.
Okay. Anyways. Yeah, I'm sure that Finn Balor is safe. I've never heard one iota of anyone saying he injured somebody with that coup de grace, but it would make me uncomfortable. I would not want to be the one taking that move. But nonetheless, the Demon does win. I gave it 3 body slams.
I gave it 2.5. It was the Demon's first match in over 3 years.
And it's surprising.
I thought it would have been longer than that.
Yeah, I was going to say I thought it would have been longer than that because it seems to me like the Judgment Day's been around for 3 years. I don't know how long they've been around, but it seems like it's been forever.
So what do we think the future of the Judgment Day is?
I think we're going to see it dissipate. I think that JD McDonagh is going to go off and do his own thing. I think the women are going to do their own thing. And I think actually Roxanne Perez will probably be the one that removes herself from it because she's got a lot of the potential. Not that Rodriguez doesn't have it, but I just think that Roxanne Perez just matches up better with more opponents than Raquel Rodriguez.
Do we see a WWE draft where this team is split up?
Oh, you know what? That's probably coming because it usually happens after WrestleMania.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we could see that. Well, by the way, you had selected the Demon. I selected Dominic, so that gives you 7 correct predictions to 4 predict corrections for me. All right, up next, the women's match for the WWE Women's Championship. It is Jade Cargill versus Rhea Ripley.
I got to tell you, when Jade came out, it looked like a bad Dolly Parton wig. There was fluff in so many directions. It really looked like a Dolly Parton wig got caught in a blender. I don't understand it, nor do I understand Rhea being the dark brutality girl wearing white. That just seemed odd.
She had a different look, and I liked it because it was something totally different. I know.
Sometimes that's good.
Yeah, she's supposed to be the goth queen or whatever you want to say, but I really liked it. I thought it was something different. She had different makeup on. I really thought that for these two, I really thought that it was a good match. And I haven't said that a lot about Jade Cargill, but I think she stood her own. I think Rhea led her when she needed to lead. I think the interference by Meechan and B-Fab was going to happen, and it did.
It's expected.
It's expected. And then Io Sky coming out, which I thought was interesting, to the rescue. And then the nice reversal into the Riptide out of that other maneuver that I forget what they call it. The storm a coming or whatever. I forget what it's called. But the reversal out of that into the Riptide. I gave this 3 body slams. I thought this was a little better than 50%.
I gave it 3 as well. I'm surprised Io Sky was able to neutralize the other two.
Yeah, well, I thought that was a good trick, especially because I had just said, and I think that it was evident that, oh, Rhea doesn't have any friends. Oh, wait, here comes Io Sky. Cool. All right, there we go. So let's check and see here with that. I had Jade Cargill, so that gives me still 4, and you had Rhea Ripley, so you have 8 total predictions correct. And now for what I thought was this was great. This was well-placed. Let's throw a little comedy in here, man. We've had brutality we've had high flying with the ladder match. We've had brutality with the street fight. Let's throw some comedy in here. And that's when John Cena comes out to tell us 51,000 people and 106 or whatever was the total for both nights. And The Miz and Kit Wilson interferes and talks about how they want the WrestleMania moment. And John Cena gives it to him in the guise of Danhausen. With little Danhausens, little people as Danhausen. This was awesome. This was fun.
Looked like a riot at a daycare center.
Where it ended
Bobby
up.
Heenan said that first.
It ended up with one of the little people, one of the little Danhausens kicking, I believe, I think it was Kit Wilson first. Yeah, he got kicked in the hoo-hoo. And then The Miz got punched in the hoo-hoo. And then they carted off The Miz, if I remember correctly. All of this took about 5-6 minutes, but it was well worth it.
The little guys, being politically correct, Danhausen, were carrying The Miz, and they dropped him.
Did they? I didn't see that.
Yeah. You know, Miz, I love you. I think you deserve buckets of respect. You're willing to take the abuse, but I think many times the Miz is the MVP of a lot of shows.
Mm-hmm.
There are times on Monday Night Raw, his segments, his wrestling, he's the backbone. I think he deserves better respect than that. It wasn't intended, believe me.
Well, you know, with that being said, do you think the Miz is a future Hall of Famer?
Oh, clearly.
Okay. We'll talk about the Hall of Fame here in a little bit.
If I could talk to the Miz, I'd ask him one question.
What's that?
Has Mark Calloway ever told you he respects you?
Oh, yeah, because those two had beef at the beginning, big time.
And the Miz took it.
Yeah.
The Miz worked around it.
Yeah.
The Miz realized his place
mm-hmm.
and worked through all the problems with the established people.
Mm-hmm.
And he became an equal.
I just chuckled because as you were talking, I thought the best line in that this segment was when John Cena goes, Mike, and you are, I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even I laughed at that.
So anyway, I didn't mean to cut you off. So, but he's your MVP. If you were given an MVP, it would be Miz.
I think the Miz is underappreciated.
Okay. All right. Well, it's time for our main event. It is Roman Reigns versus CM Punk. I enjoyed they gave both of the theme songs, the AFI theme, which I know because of Punk. And then he went into Cult of Personality by Living Color.
Which is way over.
Yeah, of course. I mean, absolutely. I thought this match was really good. A little bit long. But I think that because of the magnitude of the match, I can let it go a little bit longer. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not as annoyed with that. I gave it 4 body slams. I thought it was really well done. A lot of hard-hitting action. Roman Reigns getting the victory, which is going to set us up, as we said just a few moments ago. Anyways, that's going to set us up for a matchup with Jacob Fatu. So, yeah, I don't have any other... I have no real complaints about that match. What about you?
I gave it a 4. Took a while. I was distracted reading CM Punk's tribute jacket.
Yeah, and I think for most folks, most casual fans, I don't know too many people that got those, because I didn't get those references.
He explained them.
Yeah, they explained them on the broadcast, which was good. That's the cool thing about Punk. He seems to always be respectful, no matter who it is.
Appreciates the people around him.
Yep, exactly. Unless he has to work with children. Anyways, more on that later.
Who are you calling a moron?
Anyways.
There was a lot of Spanish announce table. A lot of English announce table.
Table's got a workout this weekend.
Go to sleeps and Superman punches. We had the tree of woe.
Yeah, to the outside of the ring.
Normally it's the inside.
Yeah.
He took a couple Superman punches from Roman while he was hanging up and down.
Yeah, overall, I thought it was a great, great matchup. And certainly it's going to be interesting to see what does Punk do now. Now, again, I don't think he was on Monday Night Raw last night, correct?
Yes, he was.
Was he? Okay. Because I got to be honest, I was flipping back and forth between that and the NHL. So
he came out, started Monday Night Raw, talked about how even though he lost, he doesn't think he's a loser.
Okay.
Cody interrupted him.
Okay.
And there was a comment made, anytime, buddy.
Okay.
So maybe those two are going to have a series.
That would be pretty tight. I would like that.
That might be your SummerSlam.
Yeah. That would be a great night two. Way to end night two.
Sure.
You know? Well, let's talk real quickly about one other note from Raw that I wrote down here that I saw. That was Seth Rollins confronting the Vision. Of course, Bron Breakker was in the ring as he's returned from the injury, as we noted earlier here, because he got involved in the match with Seth Rollins and Gunther. The storyline, I like the idea of mixing in the Street Profits into this as they came to the aid. Once again, I asked, Does Seth not have any friends? Well, lo and behold, he does. He has, of course, the Street Profits, Montez and D'Angelo. So I like that idea. I think that's a good mix for the three of them.
Who against Logan Paul, Theory, and Breaker?
Yeah. So now,
I could see parts of those going at each other.
Absolutely. Yep. All right.
Of course, there's still the Seth Rollins mad at Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
And there's also a question: what's the connection between Gunther and Paul Heyman?
Yeah, because they didn't really go any further with that,
they
other than
tease it. And it may or may not be there.
Yeah, absolutely with that. All right, let's wrap up with a couple other miscellaneous things, Rand. Royce Keyes, a.k.a. Powerhouse Hobbs. He's always going to be Powerhouse Hobbs to me.
I understand that.
He won the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Seemingly, a new character.
Yeah.
Good, strong push. Incredible look. Could you see him in Obafemi?
Oh, yeah, that would be great.
Not right away.
Nope.
Let that one build.
Hell, they would be a great tag team.
Oh, they would be huge. Massive.
They would.
Mastodons.
that would be a sweet name for them, maybe. King Kong Bundy and Big John Studd is what I was thinking. But still, look, I think the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, I think they're missing the opportunity to use that in a more prominent role. Like, whoever the winner is, so it's Powerhouse Hobbs right now, or Royce Keyes. I would think that Royce has to, like, every 90 days has to compete in a Battle Royal. And he's got to be the one to win that battle royal to keep the trophy.
Okay. Does he have a reward for winning?
Yeah. Then the winner would get like a title shot again of their choosing.
Okay. So it would be a battle royal, Andre the Giant battle royal, Money in the Bank.
Yeah. Kind of thing like that. Yeah. Yeah. They got to do something with that title. They only bring out the trophy once a year and you totally forget about it until they bring it out. And you're like, oh, yeah.
Does anybody have the Money in the Bank now?
Great question. Who has the Money in the Bank case? I don't know. I don't think anybody does. I think they all turned them in and everything. Yeah, so I don't know. You know what? I'd have to look that up, the Money in the Bank case. But, you know what? Before we get running out of time, I'll look that up otherwise. Let's talk real quickly about the Hall of Fame. I did not watch it. Did you watch it?
No. I know who it was. But I did not watch it.
Well, from what I understand, it was abysmal because Stephanie McMahon took like 40 minutes of the 2 hours that they had. And again, I could sit here and rant and rave, but I feel like Sid Vicious and Bad News Brown certainly didn't get their due. As evidence from Gunner Edie, who is, of course, Sid Vicious' son, he feels like his father was very much disrespected by getting the legacy quote unquote nod.
He was a two-time champ?
Yeah. He was a two-time champ. He was cutting edge.
He was the champ on both sides.
Yeah.
Both WCW and WWE.
Yes. I mean, he was the man as
he rules the universe.
He just was awesome. Like, he had the look, he had the promo, except for that one that he messed up. And he's like, I'm sorry. Can we try that again? We're live, pal. You know, but other than that.
Who hasn't done that?
Yeah, who hasn't?
We did that twice tonight.
Yeah, I mean, if you only knew what's on the cutting room floor here at Casa de la Orlando. But anyways, yeah, I don't know. They got to do better with this Hall of Fame.
There are people in the Hall of Fame who have never won a title.
Yeah, but they got to have some importance because, like, for me, like, everybody rags on Coco Beware. But Coco Beware was the baby face that heels had to beat
right to
get to the Intercontinental title.
He was a stepping stone.
He was, and he was cool with that. And
you need to have stepping stones.
You do. That's what this business has. So, I don't know.
I'm sure there are. Where do you draw the line? Same in baseball.
Yeah, that's true.
Where do you draw the line?
That's true.
Between the Hall of Fame and the Hall of Pretty Good.
Yeah. You got a valid point that, Rand, I can't argue that.
I think there are some people backstage who should get in.
Yeah.
But I think if you let backstage people in, it makes the people in the ring less important.
Well, I think that what they can do is they could have their own, like, okay.
Contributors wing?
Contributors, yeah, you know.
We have the Hall of Fame wing.
The celebrity Hall of Fame wing, yeah.
I mean, Drew Carey, Pete Rose.
Isn't Kid Rock in that? Vince McMahon in it. No, Vince McMahon is not in it. Although I would not be shocked if somewhere down the line, years and years from now, that he's not put in.
Posthumously,
maybe. I think that would be the only way that it would have to happen, because I think he's too hot right now with the Janelle Grant issues that he's having and driving cars, apparently. Well, anyways, with that concludes our rundown of WrestleMania for this year. Rand, any final thoughts?
Life is good.
Okay.
Enjoy wrestling.
There you go. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I will be back to wrap up the episode.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Ringside Rand talking about WrestleMania. Hopefully you enjoyed the show and maybe you have some comments that you would like to send my way. Well, let me tell you how you can do that. First of all, you can email me. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is the email address. You can still find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. And you can also shoot me a message over on Instagram, Threads, or Facebook. Just look for @PVDcast for the handle for those three outlets. Now, maybe you want to let somebody know where they can hear the show. Well, there's a couple different avenues for that as well. First off, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and probably the best place to get every single new episode. You can also find it through your favorite podcasting outlet or app. Simply just go to your favorite podcasting outlet or app, go to the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And hey, while we're talking about those outlets and apps, do me a favor. Please rate and review. It helps me out in the algorithm so much, and I really do appreciate it. And of course, you can always subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVD Cast. Well, the third way you can hear the show is simply by using the Facebook page at PVD Cast on a Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where I do a live broadcast of the show. So there you go. You got PVDcast.com through your favorite podcasting outlet or app. And of course, Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time through the Facebook page. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you very much for checking out this edition of the show. And I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous. Stay independent and stay safe and healthy. The following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2020. 6.